All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. A super busy Monday. Oh my goodness, so much going on, guys. Right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now from Pro Football Focus, it's Austin Gale. How you doing, Austin?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, let's get right at it. What stood out the most? Saturday night, Patriots go down. What stood out to you the most?
Well, I think what I was really impressed with was how the Tennessee Titans approached that Patriots defense. I feel like they didn't score a ton of points in that game, but they still approached it with the right mindset of attacking its weaknesses. Run game played well. I think Ryan Tannehill didn't turn in the best of games, but he kept things consistent, you know, avoided a ton of negative plays. I think that Tennessee Titans offense impressed me in how they protected the football and ran down the Patriots. So, and what didn't surprise me at all, Patriots offense, it's still bad. I mean, we knew that going in. It was a bad offense that will struggle to put up points, even against a bad Tennessee Titans defense. We saw that in Foxborough and ultimately ended in the loss for New England.
That was easy for Tannehill. All he had to do was hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. I mean, I've heard you talking all year about how running backs aren't a major key to success. I mean, do you care to amend that statement after what Derrick Henry single-handedly did?
I'll say this. Derrick Henry put together an absolutely impressive performance. It's one of the better performances from a running back we've seen in quite some time. I will say this, though. He did have a lot of help from the blocking up front. I think all five of his offensive linemen up front earned over 70.0 PFF run blocking grades. He had over 5 yards before contact on a handful of carries, 10 or more carries. That, I think, you know, he really needs credit. Derrick Henry gets all the love. He gets all the highlights. But that offensive line, Roger Saffold, Taylor Lewan, et cetera, really put a beating on the New England Patriots front seven. Everyone got manhandled, really opened up lanes for Derrick Henry to do great things at the second and third level. But Derrick Henry doesn't beat the first level without great blocking up front.
Was the Patriots defense, Austin, never as good as advertised?
I want to say no to that. I think they're still a very good coverage unit. I think they're one of the better coverage units in the NFL if they were still in the postseason. I think where they struggled was the run game, and they just got beat to a pulp in the trenches. It was a problem. I mean, you saw the offensive line really beat them down. I think when you allow that, I think it's forced them to try and play up, and when they played up, Tennessee was able to beat them over the top. I think really Tennessee went into that game. Vrabel went into that game with such a great game plan to put points on the New England Patriots defense. They didn't put up a ton of points, but they put up more than you'd expect, knowing the Patriots defense was that good. Tennessee didn't have a great game offensively. Like I said, they didn't put up a ton of points in that one. However, I think they did enough to beat a Patriots team that they knew couldn't score with them.
Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, has joined us every single Monday of the NFL season. He does it again here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. Remember, you can sign up for a Pro Football Focus Elite Package here in 2020 by using the promo code RADIO at checkout. Yeah, look, it's fun to blame the defense, and I'm trending in that direction too, blaming the defense. But the Patriots offense, as you said, continues to be bad. Are they getting off the hook in this one because of how Derrick Henry looked?
Oh, absolutely. I would really disagree with those who really blame that defense. I think Derrick Henry had a dominant performance. I understand that. But, if you look, when it's all said and done, Tennessee Titans offense only scored 2 offensive touchdowns in this one. I mean, the last one was a pick 6. I think that New England Patriots defense did a good job. The problem is this Patriots offense. They simply did not play well. The receivers still struggled to create separation, and, Sonny Michel not living up to expectation in his second year. The offensive line getting beat down a bit by Jeffrey Simmons and Rashawn Evans. And you can't score in the postseason. I said before the game, the best offenses win in the postseason. And Tennessee had the better offense by a landslide, and they only scored 14 points on the offensive side of the ball.
Austin, I could make a strong case for the Patriots to bring back Tom Brady. I think they should bring back Tom Brady. Is Tom Brady their best option? Do you think they'll bring him back?
Yes, 100% Tom Brady is their best option. But I will say this. I don't know if it's the Patriots' choice in this situation. I think the ball is in Tom Brady's court. I think he's going to go where he thinks he has the most help to win a Super Bowl in the next X amount of years he wants to play. Is that New England? I don't know. There are a few receivers away from having a legit offense. There's a few offensive linemen away from having good protection up front, and I think that defense is so great can't make up for what is a bad supporting cast in New England. I think there are other options, Indianapolis perhaps, that have better supporting cast for Tom Brady if he wants to make a jump.
Do you get the feeling after 20 years it's going to come down to the money? I mean, the Pats have about $50 million in cap space available. What do you think Brady's worth to the Pats at this point?
He's worth a whole lot. I hope it doesn't come down to the money. I don't think it would. I mean, Tom Brady is in a position right now where I don't think he's even worrying about the money. I think he wants to squeeze out another ring, maybe two, and he wants to find the team. He wants to find the team that best gives him that shot. I don't know if that is New England right now. Maybe it is, and I think there is part of him that wants to finish his career in New England. But if it isn't, I think there's real opportunity. He jumps and finds a team with a better supporting cast that he can easily come in and win with.
You know, Austin, we talked about A.J. Brown for the Titans in the lead-up to this game. He's a rookie. We saw D.K. Metcalf, what he did yesterday for Seattle. Rookie wide receivers have made impacts for playoff teams this year, and the Pats never got that from N'Keal Harry. Is that solely blamed on his lack of health for the entirety of the season, or did the Patriots whiff on another first-round receiver?
Yeah, this has been such a great year for wide receivers, rookie wide receivers, but not for N'Keal Harry. I mean, coming out here at PFF, we saw that he did not create separation at an elite level on the intermediate and deep levels of the field. A lot of his production at Arizona State, similar to the receiver coming out now, Brandon Ayuk, came from screens and shallow crosses and things like that. That level of production is schemed, kind of fake in that regard. However, when you look at like guys like A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, D.K. Metcalf, these guys win on intermediate and deep routes, and that's the most valuable routes in the NFL right now. N'Keal Harry never proved he was a good route runner at the intermediate and deep levels of the field, and that rung true all throughout his rookie year. I don't think I blame the injuries here. I think the New England Patriots would much rather have a handful of other rookie receivers, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, all of those guys, I think, produce better in the NFL than N'Keal Harry when it's all said and done.
Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, was with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. You know, Austin, I've long been a sabermetric fan when it comes to baseball and thinking about all the different ways to look at baseball. I got to imagine you guys at PFF, if it's like baseball, place a pretty high emphasis on the draft. And the draft has never felt all that important to the Patriots because they're always at the back half of rounds. It feels like this draft's going to be really important.
Oh, 100%. The draft's always important, in my opinion. I think you can't afford to miss on draft picks. You have to find ways to bring in great players, and PFF really does focus on the draft. Our data scientists, Eric Eager and George Chihuri, are working right now to come up with the best metrics and best statistics that correlate to success from the college to the NFL level. And we're finding that there are a handful of metrics that have high correlations to success in the NFL. I think analytics are so important when it comes to the draft. Analytics are important across the board. Decision-making, play calling, personnel, and especially the NFL draft, knowing positional value, which players will, you know, translate to the next level is so important. In New England, this is such a huge offseason for them because I think what they do in the offseason ultimately decides what Tom Brady does in the offseason. If they make efforts to bring legitimate talent to this offense, I think they have a better shot at keeping him. However, they don't bring in guys he likes. I mean, he doesn't think he can win with them. He'll have every other team needing a quarterback jumping at the opportunity to grab.
What do you mean by bringing in offensive weapons? Does that mean if they draft the rookie in the second, third round, that's okay with Tom Brady? Does it got to be a veteran free agent, or do they got to trade for somebody who's got a name?
I think in the draft, you have to, you know, draft the best player available. I hate going into a draft and trying to draft a position. We at PFF always say, don't draft positions, draft players. And plus, you rarely get strong production from rookies. A.J. Brown and Terry McLaurin are outliers in that regard. It's hard to get a very high-producing rookie at any position, really. I think they need to attack free agency and the trade market heavily. Find offensive line help in free agency. Maybe Anthony Costanzo, the veteran offensive tackle from the Indianapolis Colts, to come over. Look at receiver. There's Amari Cooper could be a free agent. AJ Green, Robbie Anderson. There's a ton of opportunity in free agency, both on offensive and defensive side of the ball. I think that's where they need to get aggressive this offseason.
And Austin, you were talking about wide receivers. One guy they really couldn't count on, at least the second half of the year, was Julian Edelman. What's your gut on him? Do you think he's back next year in a Patriots uniform?
I would say yes. A big part of his struggles, so he's getting double teamed a ton. He was getting double teamed on such a high percentage of his routes, and for good reason. Who are you going to double team? Matt Lacoste? Philip Dorsett? Not going to happen. Julian Edelman was the only threat really on that offense to beat people deep, beat people underneath. I think he was the guy that had to be double-teamed by opposing defenses. Vrabel knew that, and all the defenses really knew that for the New England Patriots. What they need to do is find guys that can complement Edelman, deep threats, guys that can really create separation, win vertical and deep routes. Mohamed Sanu under-deliver by and then some, really hurt the New England Patriots in that regard. They need to find a guy that can really produce at that position.
Well, Austin, we're already looking towards next year because that's the nature of society. And the Patriots' schedule next year looks incredibly tough. They're going to play their own division where Buffalo's good, Miami, the Jets are ascending. And then they're going to see the whole NFC West and the whole AFC West. They're going to travel to the West Coast three separate times. How much stock does PFF put into next year's schedule to how good or bad a team might be?
Oh, scheduling matters a ton. I mean, you know, strength of schedule is a big factor in how a team performs from a win-loss standpoint. I think this is going to be a very difficult year for the New England Patriots, one of which they do not want to go into without Tom Brady.
Yeah. Austin Gale of Pro Football Focus joins us every Monday. Austin, have a great week, my friend. We'll see what happens, and we'll speak to you next week.
Appreciate you. Thank you.